It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, as that wild card gets even itchier in your pocket, we count down to game week 3 with all the hot news, views you can use to avoid the fantasy blues. There's differentials, chips, inside tips, plus a presenter who's doing worse than any of you. It's all here on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hi, fantasy managers. With us today, we have Kelly Somers.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me.
Not at all, Kelly. You're kind of fantasy Premier League royalty right now because you're in the top, 35,000 in the world.
I said I'd only come on at the beginning because I always have a really good start and then I fall off a bit of a cliff. So yeah, I'm doing all right at the moment, but we're only 2 weeks in, so I'm not getting too ahead of myself.
Okay, enjoy it while it lasts then. Daddy of the FPL family, Lee Bonfield's here. Should I ask how you're doing, Lee?
Hello, James. Yes, I'm doing, to be honest, it's a mixed bag. Game week one was very good.
Right.
Game week two, less so.
Game week three is the one.
It is. That is the one.
Adrian Clarke.
Hello, James.
Nice to see you, Adrian. You've played at every level of English football, from the Premier League to the Conference South. None of them can compare to the raw tension of fantasy management.
Definitely not. No, I was quite a relaxed player. Never really got nervous ahead of game weeks. But in the fantasy league, it's all very stressful, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, not for Kelly right now. With you, what was it, 70 points last week?
70 points, and I was quite surprised. I just got a bit lucky, I think, really.
Well, you're currently top amongst the pundits. The top-performing manager of our listeners' league is Francois Meyrond, who's in Canada, who's currently ranked 135th in the world. Pretty good.
Decent.
And the manager who got the most points last week, in case you're interested in that, 119 points for Mahmoud Abouzara, who captained Mane, got a bunch of points for that. Mane, one of the outstanding performers of last weekend, but one name stood out above all others, Lee.
Yes, well, I think Kevin De Bruyne was the one.
Oh, I was going to say Timo Pukki.
Oh,
two names stood out.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go, to be honest. So,
no, okay. Don't worry. Well, Kevin De Bruyne was an outstanding player to have. Was he in your team?
He's not currently in my team, but he's certainly one I'm looking at. I have Raheem Sterling, so do I want to go for the double up? I know a lot of managers are looking at it, and I certainly am too.
And I think this is one of the key things that we're seeing in the early weeks of this season is if you don't have him and you want to have him, you have to act fast. Kevin De Bruyne has seen a price rise. No one has risen, though, Kelly, as much as Norwich's extraordinary Finn, Timo Pukki.
I don't have him, which is worrying me a little bit. I've gone for three forwards that started at the same price as him, 6.5, and unfortunately none of mine have risen. One of them has fallen, and that's a bit of an issue for me because I went heavy in midfield. I did the KDB and Sterling double up. But, as you said, Pukki has gone up to 6.8 now.
Three price rises,
which is quite astonishing. I can't remember a season where we've kind of seen that.
Not that quickly.
So early on, there's a real bandwagon.
And it's remarkable because he's a player who not many people fancied that much before the start of the season, playing for a team that not many people fancied very much, with fixtures that don't look that good either.
I'm kicking myself, I really am, because I did watch a lot of the Championship last season. His movement's brilliant, and I did fancy him to score a lot of goals in the Premier League. I didn't expect him to get off to a flyer at Anfield. I don't think anybody did on that score. I didn't expect him to score a hat-trick against Newcastle. I actually captained Buendia in that game. I picked the wrong Norwich guy. but there you go, you win some, you lose some.
More the latter, I find. Pukki's price now 6.8 million. A couple of other players who've had double rises. Martial, who's up to 7.7. And Sterling, who's now on 12.2, if memory serves. Prices are correct at the time of recording. Of course, I bet some of your players have gone down in value, have they, Adrian?
Some of my players have gone down in value. Wilson, but I was partly responsible for that price drop because I've got rid of him, unfortunately. So, yeah, we'll probably get to that later on. But, yeah, I lost faith in Wilson very early on in the campaign.
And that's what drives the whole price mechanism. Managers piling in on a player drives the price up.
Well, yeah, I don't think we've ever seen a market quite as volatile as this at the beginning of the season. We're used to a few players going up, a few going down, but the market is crazy at the minute. Absolutely crazy.
And that's why a lot of people have actually already played their wild card. And some other people, some of them in this room, thinking of doing it this week. The message last week was don't panic. And perhaps this time around, it's looking at those price changes. Maybe panicking is a good option. One or two other things that seem to be happening out there in FPL land that it's hard to ignore. Lundstrom's performances for Sheffield United. Yes. Adrian, you'll have seen a lot of him last year.
Well, not that much because he wasn't a regular in the side, believe it or not. What's happened here is that Chris Wilder was going with a slightly more pragmatic starting 11 than he did in the Championship. And of the three midfielders, he's actually, even though he's quite defensive by nature, he's been the most advanced. So the fact that he's a defender in the Fantasy League is quite remarkable, really. And for that reason, he's been part of my triple swoop this week.
Oh, wow.
I've used him as a kind of a short-term facilitator. I do wonder whether in time, Freeman, a more attacking midfield player, might come in for him. But in the short term, I think he'll play.
Lundstrom, who scored last week, 4.1. He has had a price rise. How long? You say a short-term solution. How long do you think he's going to go on being a real asset?
Well, I'm going to watch this space. He's a very handy player to have at 4.1, isn't he? Because he enables me to go out and spend big on other players. So I'll watch this space. He can always sit on the bench for a little while if Wilder isn't quite sure whether to start him week in, week out. But no, I think for now, he's a shrewd acquisition.
Okay. Mm. One or two other names that leapt out from certainly the second game week. Dani Ceballos, who's 5.6 million, very cheap and such a driving force at Arsenal. Kevin De Bruyne, we all knew about him, but he looked fantastic. Cantwell, another Norwich player who certainly shone there. And the entire Everton defence, who were just doing brilliant things, yet to concede a goal, the Toffees. Which of those should we be making sure we get in on? Where are our priorities amongst all that?
Well, I think of the value picks that you've pointed out there, I do like Cantwell. I think the creativity behind Pukki with Buendia and Cantwell and Stieperman, that is all good. The one that I've really got my eye on over the next 2 weeks is Ceballos. So Arsenal have got two really tough games in the next couple of game weeks. If he passes those tests in the way that he passed the test last game week, he is going to be great value at 5.5, 5.6. I think he might have even had a price rise by now. So two assists last game week. Looked full of hunger, full of energy, very dynamic. Like the look of him in that Arsenal midfield.
5.6 is the price as we speak. And Kelly, for you?
The Everton defence, I think, is a pretty interesting one. The one thing that at the time of us recording this now is we don't quite know what's going to happen with Lucas Digne, which is worrying me a little bit because he's been brilliant again and he's, for me, the must-have Everton, not must-have, but the most attractive Everton defender. And they've got some really good fixtures coming up. Aston Villa struggling to score goals. Obviously, that's the Friday night game. Then a home game against Wolves, Bournemouth away. I just think that at 6 million, he's a really shrewd acquisition.
If you're worried about him, the alternative Everton name would be Yerry Mina?
I think so. Or Coleman as
well.
All good options. And I think Michael Keane is, I think, got a couple of bonus points game week one. So they're all pretty good options. Didn't concede a lot of goals in pre-season and are keeping it tight so far in the Premier League.
Mina currently costing you 5.6. Keane and Coleman both 5.5. Well, after this, let's look a little bit more in-depth at game week three's fixtures. Game week three, which kicks off, as you say, Kelly, with Aston Villa taking on Everton. But which game would you like to pick out of the weekend's fixture list?
I'm going to go to Sunday first, Bournemouth versus Manchester City. I'm kind of looking at this for a few reasons. A, I'm going to it. I'm working at it. I think there's going to be goals. I'm heavily backing City. I did the City midfield double up from the start of the season. I went Sterling and De Bruyne. I'm having slight concerns that I don't have Kane because I've gone so heavy in midfield. But I just think with Sterling, you can't ignore him. He for me, was the first person in my team. And watching De Bruyne, it was actually the Community Shield where I watched it and thought, I can't not have him. 11 points last weekend.
Yeah.
I just think against Bournemouth, who, yes, they won against Aston Villa, but they still looked a little bit dodgy. I watched Bournemouth last weekend. I'm hoping for big points from them, and I need big points because I'm scared about not having Harry Kane.
Do you remember this game last year? It was the match where Bournemouth had zero shots on goal. Not just shots on target, zero shots on goal. 18% possession.
Yeah. Yes.
So I just feel that Eddie Howe won't make that same mistake again. I think he will be slightly more proactive this time around. That will have hurt his pride a little bit, I think, to have been slammed so much in the media afterwards.
Right.
So.
Does it make any difference what he intends to do with Man City arriving?
Not really. Man City are the stronger side. They're more than likely to score two or more goals in the game. I've got Sterling and Bernardo ahead of kickoff for this
one.
The
worry, I think, for Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne, our owners, is that I've just taken an 8-point hit to bring them both in. So it will be Jesus and Aguero getting all the goals this time around.
Well, I think Adrian's absolutely right. Bournemouth will come come out and try and be more proactive, but in doing so may play into Man City's hands, right? That's going to leave space in behind for the likes of Sterling. Mahrez, if he plays, loves exploiting that space. So I'm actually with Kelly. I think Sterling is a really good captaincy choice this week. Bournemouth, I think, are fourth worst in the league for shots conceded, or attempts on goal, I should say. So I know we only have two game weeks to go and only two data points, but already they're starting to look a bit leaky, and I think Sterling's going to exploit that.
Can we also point out that, of course, last week City thought they'd won against Spurs, hadn't, and we know how Pep Guardiola riles his team up. They've already dropped points. I just can't see them dropping any points this weekend. And I agree with you, Lee, in terms of if they do go for it, Bournemouth, then they could be even more vulnerable.
Sure.
Adrian, tell us about Spurs Newcastle.
Well, I've got Harry Kane in my starting lineup, I am seriously considering triple captioning here.
Don't say this to me.
It's on my mind.
It's not what Kelly wants.
He's already locked in to be skipper. I've actually got Sterling as well, so there are options there. But I just think Newcastle have been so rubbish so far that I can't see Kane failing to score. I'm seeing at least a double from him in this game.
It's interesting. There's been people who've had massive successes. It's a question we'll address later on. For example, triple captaining Pukki or Sterling in game week one. And it's really tempting to go down that same route.
Absolutely. There's a lot of talk about Son as well. I know that he's not owned by very many players at the moment, Son. He could come back into the starting 11. But we've got to factor in, haven't we? When Son and Kane play together, he's not quite as effective, is he, Son? So, yeah, I'm going with Kane here all day long. Mora as well, I think, will be a good pick here, 7.5.
What about the 5 million and very attractive at that price defender, Walker Peters? Will he continue to start?
I think so. Foyth is still injured, so not a problem for him starting this game. And let's be honest, Newcastle have not exactly looked like they're going to score a lot of goals. Joe Linton, not impressive at all.
So no,
I would imagine that Spurs will keep a clean sheet and win to nil here. So Walker Peters is a good pick at 5.
Nice. OK, Lee, fantasy managers love goals. Mm-hmm. No Premier League fixture offers goals in the quantity that Liverpool-Arsenal does, an average of 5 per game.
It's actually incredible. I mean, I remember a fixture, the Liverpool-Arsenal fixture a few years back where Andre Arshavin got 4 goals.
Indeed.
Do you remember the celebration?
Brilliant.
It hit me hard. But yeah, there should be goals in this game. There's no doubt about it. Arsenal not...
Imagine if you triple-captained Arshavin, who probably
didn't know, right?
On that night, I've got a little story. It was one of my relatively early days with my now wife. I took her to the pub to watch the football, and she's not really into the football, but she was like, does this normally happen? Arshavin scoring 4, she's almost fell in love with the guy that night, but especially with that celebration when he scored the 4th. So yeah, that's my little Arshavin story. But yeah, this game always has goals. I tell you who might be a good pick, Firmino.
Well, I think Firmino is absolutely a good pick. There's so much talk in the Twitter FPL community about Salah or Mane and who you're going to pick if you're wildcarding. Which one of those are you going to go for? But I agree with you, Adrian. I think Firmino has been spot on so far this season. Shots on goal, obviously got the goal against Southampton as well.
Firmino, 9.5 million, a much cheaper option as well than Mane, who's 11.5, and Mo Salah, who blanked last week, 12.5.
Yeah, well, he scored 7 in 8 against Arsenal, so it's a lucky team. Every player seems to have one club that they always score against. And Firmino, he seems to have Arsenal's measure. I've rested David Luiz for this one.
Right.
Got him in my I've got him in my squad, but I can't back Arsenal to keep a clean sheet at Anfield. Sorry.
Kelly, we're all talking about Liverpool goal scorers here, but isn't the question with Adrian's problems?
That was what I was going to say next. As you said, you benched David Luiz. Mm. I'm an Andrew Robertson owner, and I'm with this whole thing about whether I want to get Harry Kane in, and I'm still not dead set. I know I should have made my changes by now because it's a volatile market. I'm actually seriously considering selling Andrew Robertson for now, kind of in the hope that at 7 million... He hasn't provided any returns so far. With Adrian in goal, they don't look as secure. He hasn't had any attacking returns yet. This cue me selling him and him getting through, him getting a hat trick.
No, but there's science behind this, and it is that this is a back line that's used to passing back to a goalkeeper who's comfortable with that. Adrian
difference isn't.
And what is that going to mean for all their clean sheets, particularly when you have forwards with the kind of pace of Aubameyang putting pressure on Adrian?
And I'm also doing this in the hope that I'm going to be clever. I know this is going to backfire. I have as much luck as this game sometimes as you, James. But I'm hoping that he does blank for a couple more weeks. 7 million is a lot to spend on a defender. Maybe his price will fall. And then I'll get him back in, just in time for Alisson to come back. That would all be too well planned.
I totally get the Robertson thing. I can get that. But I think if you've got Virgil van Dijk or you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold,
yeah, agree.
You're going to get points at both ends of the pitch. Don't forget that both of those guys can get attacking returns. And Arsenal have looked particularly susceptible to both headed chances and chances created, or chances conceded, I should say, from set pieces. They are the worst in the league for those two statistics right now.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't jump on getting him out. I'm just trying to find some fun somewhere, and I'm looking at it thinking, any other time of the season, I'd go 7 million Andrew Robertson with Alisson behind him. Got to keep him. I'm just now in a little bit of a conundrum. I'll probably keep him, Lee, let's be honest, but that's just something I'm considering.
Have we got time for a quick word on Man United against Palace, the team that never, ever beats Man United in the Premier League? Not since, when was it, 1989, I think, Mark Bright.
I wasn't even born then.
Well, there you go. Oh, wow. There you go. A little bit of perspective.
They haven't scored at Old Trafford since 2004. In the Premier League, Crystal
right.
Palace.
Really?
So,
what a great
so
stat.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's six straight games. So, and I don't think we've seen anything in the first couple of outings to suggest that trend is going to change.
Which means that Man United backline, David De Gea, and they're all about 5.5. Wan-Bissaka has actually gone up to 5.6 now, but they all look like incredibly good options.
Yeah. I would certainly be loading up on Manchester United defenders.
One quick question about this game: if a penalty gets awarded, who will take it?
Well, Rashford, I hope, because I've just drafted in into my side. I don't like this whole rotation of penalty taker business. I really don't. It just ramps up too much pressure on the guy that nominates themselves to take it. For me, Rashford is the better penalty taker, and I think he'll have one if they get it.
Pogba was the spot kick taker last year, and that was part of his value for fantasy managers, unlikely to continue as well.
I think so, because, yeah, he's missed a few, and Rashford instills more confidence.
Brilliant. After this, let's take the long view. The long view. Now, we've talked here a lot about which teams have got attractive runs of fixtures, and you by and large know which sides those are, Everton, etc. Mm-hmm. But there's another issue which has become quite current, because 500,000 managers have now already used their wildcard. A huge number have got them active this week. Some other managers, and I count myself in this number, are considering making that move before the game week gets underway. The conventional wisdom was that you wouldn't wildcard until the international break after game week four at the earliest. But driving this is the fact that there's been some really unexpected success stories, and there have been all these incredible price rises. Sometimes if you don't make a move now for a player, you're going to watch them disappear over the horizon.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, I personally like to have a few more data points to look at than two. I'm certainly targeting this sort of game week 4 to 5 sort of timescale. But I can understand those 500,000 managers that have already wielded the wild cards. I can totally understand it. We didn't know a lot about Norwich and Sheffield United coming into this season. I think we now know a lot more about those sides. And we also know the sides that are underperforming. So Crystal Palace and Newcastle not yet hitting the ground running. And I think Bournemouth have got a lot to do with this as well. I think we all loaded up on Wilson, Fraser and King, only for them to, you know, really not light any fires so far this season. So I think they are a key reason why the wildcard's being used.
Yeah, I would wait a little bit longer personally, just because we always see slow starting sides that begin to find momentum. And if I was to do a wildcard, I would be looking at teams that are starting to get up ahead of steam and getting behind them and looking ahead to their fixtures. At the moment, I think that a lot of results, a lot of scorers are going to be hit and miss. I would avoid for now.
Let it all settle down. The notion about the wildcard being a kind of a break glass in case of emergency ticket. I mean, if you're having an emergency the way I am, you can understand why I'm now reaching for it.
James, this is a great time to mention that we're in a head-to-head together, isn't it? Called Race for the Bottom.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
I'm gloating at the moment because I'm 2-0 up over James. That won't last. I always have a good start. For me, when I look at whether I'm going to wildcard or not, there's a few changes I want to make. For example, if I was wildcarding now, maybe I would go Mane over Salah just to save that little bit of cash, enabling me to get some other players in. But for me, I kind of have a bit of a limit and a threshold. If I want to change more than 4, maybe 5 of my team, that's when I wildcard. And I think that's a good way of getting it in your head, because that's when you have to work out, is it worth the points here, or should I hold it?
Yeah.
Because are you realistically going to get in another position? Like, I look at my team, I want to make 3 changes, really. So I'm not wildcarding. And I'm fully aware that in a month or so, I will want to make 4 or 5. That's when I wildcard.
So you're taking, you've got a 4-point hit on those 3 transfers, is that right?
Yes, if I take it.
I'm taking an 8-point hit. What is the threshold then where you think, okay, now you should just play your wildcard and stop beating yourself up?
I think if you wanted to do, so if you did your -8 hit, James, and you feel like you still want to do more changes to your team, you should wildcard.
Right, no more than 8 points. That would be your guideline.
8 points is about the limit. Minus 12 when you are very much in wildcard territory. What's
the biggest points hit you've ever taken?
Oh, the biggest points hit I've ever taken, I think probably 12.
James, can I ask you that question? Because I reckon you might have done a big hit.
I might have done a 12.
Post wildcard 12.
This is James Richardson's FPL rehab.
Yes. Just on the subject of if you are one of those managers out there with a wildcard active, and you haven't got one of the following players in, maybe you need to have a final tinker. Who would be your must-have, Lee?
I think if you haven't got Sterling, you need him.
Okay, Kelly?
Speaking for myself here, Harry Kane.
Really?
Yeah, I can't disagree. Kane is guaranteed goals.
Okay, Martial, Kevin De Bruyne?
Oh, the top players. I would go De Bruyne over Martial just on the basis that he's fresh and he started the season in fantastic form. It's just, will he score enough goals, De Bruyne? We know all about the assists. I don't know if he'll score enough.
OK, well, those are some of the more obvious names. But up next, we'll be looking at more of the niche choices in essential differential. Essential differential, Kelly, as you know, means players with low ownership. So you don't have to share those lovely points with anybody, but points that they're going to bring you in abundance. That's the plan anyway. Who have you picked out?
I own him, so I'm going to go for James Maddison. Because I think that the second half against Chelsea at the weekend, the way he was linking up with Vardy, the fact he's on set pieces, 7 million, I think he's really good value for money. I know a lot of people went for Perez, Tielemann. I think he's the best option out of that Leicester midfield at the moment. And I feel like they're just starting to find their groove. Good fixture this weekend. A few tough ones after that. But for me, low ownership, which surprised me a little bit. If you've got him, I've had a few people tweet me this week, should I get rid of him? No, if you've got him, keep him. Yeah. And I think he's at 7 million. I think he could provide really good value for money.
Adrian, who's your essential differential?
Well, I saw him in the flesh at the weekend, Ashley Barnes. Ooh. He was putting his weight around, let me tell you. He is the main man in Burnley's attack at the moment. Chris Wood is not playing well. He was bullied, really, by the Arsenal defence. We all saw what Barnes did on the opening day against Southampton. He's a player in form at 6.6. Considering how often Burnley flight balls into the box, I think he's going to get on the end of an awful lot of crosses. I like McNeil and Gudmundsson. That's a good supply line. So Barnes at 6.6, be a good selection for me.
Barnes, who's one of my kind of wildcard fever dreams, is currently only on 6.5% ownership.
He's not very fashionable, is he? But he's effective.
He certainly is, isn't he? Lee, what about you?
Well, I've picked out Brighton's new boy, Leandro Trossard. He's 6 million in the game, which I think is a... it's a tricky price point, actually. I don't think we can trust the Chelsea midfielders quite yet at that price point.
Why is that a tricky price point?
Well, I think 6.0 is one... I don't think there's that many options there. If you want some more options, you can go up to 6.5, and there's plenty of options if... well, not plenty, but there's some options at 4.5. But if you're going at the 6.0 bracket, you should look at Trossard. He's only owned by 0.7% in the game. So uber differential.
What about his performance last week makes you think he could be one to get in?
Well, he was actually unlucky not to get two goals. He got one goal and completely ran the show, from my perspective, from the highlights that I saw. Unlucky not to get two goals. VAR ruled out his first one. I just like the way he passed the eye test for me. The way he hits the ball is sensational. His goal was just hit so sweetly. And I think Potter signed him for about 15 million in the summer. So you've got to think that he's going to play him. He's going to be a first choice in that team.
I'd just be wary, slightly, of rotation with him. Didn't play in the first week. They won 3-0.
Yeah, that's true.
And Potter does like to rotate, but I do think he looks a good option.
Up next, we'll be looking at your questions, listeners, if you sent one in, and seeing who we're going to give the captain's armband to. Now, hashtag FPL pod is the place to send your Twitter questions. Yissahak Mtech says, is it okay to keep Jota just because he looks like Jesse from Prison Break? Any thoughts on that?
Not many thoughts on the Prison Break thing, but yes, absolutely, we should be keeping Jota. He's looked really good in Europe. I think it's only a matter of time before he starts scoring, right?
Mad goal that he scored against
That's
Pjanic.
Insane, wasn't it? What a goal.
What a goal. Okay, FPL Adar says, in the coming few game weeks, which player yet to play this season is going to haul? Can we actually open that up to which player yet to really return this season? Who do you think is going to suddenly explode?
Oh, I'm going to go with Everton's Moise Kean. I think he's a player that excited Juventus fans. I think he's a bargain, really. Player with a lot of potential. I like Calvert-Lewin. He's a great workhorse at the top of the pitch for Everton, but just get the feeling that having spent that big money on one of European football's big prospects,
yes,
that Silva will bring him into the team sooner rather than later. And he's a finisher. Yeah. Let me tell you, he's really instinctive.
7 goals in 6 games when he broke into the
exactly.
The
and I think he's priced up very fairly at 6.9.
Very interesting. Kelly, what do you think?
I think that there's some good injury news for West Ham fans and owners of West Ham assets this week. Anderson and Haller could both feature this weekend. Anderson in particular, obviously we know he was brilliant in bursts last season. And I think that against a Watford defence who have struggled, already conceded 4 goals, 3 goals in their last home game, West Ham hammered them at Vicarage Road at the end of last season. I think that he could be a very good pick. Maybe don't bring him in ahead of this week if you aren't, well, if you're not brave like I'm not, but he's definitely one to watch and could be another differential.
Excellent. Keep your questions coming in, that hashtag FPLpod. Try and get to a few more of those next time around. Up next, though, going to find out who's going to be wearing the armband on Game Week 3. Game Week 3 awaits us. Adrian, you've got big plans for your captain's armband.
Ooh. I do, yeah. It's a no-brainer for me. Newcastle at home for Tottenham Hotspur. It has to be Harry Kane.
Really?
Not impressed at all with Newcastle's defending. In the Premier League this term, Bruce is all over the place and Kane has looked sharp. So yeah, he's definitely captain, but I am considering...
Come on.
The triple.
Are you?
I'm considering it, yeah.
No, I've seen managers getting big, stellar, galactic points hauls with Sterling game week one. With that fellow Pookie last time around. Go for it, Adrian.
Well, I think I might because last week was so average, so mediocre.
Right.
I need a lift.
Okay. Now, the conventional wisdom is that you save that kind of chip, the triple captain, for when players have a double game week. But the knock against that, and one of our listeners was mentioning, is that quite often the big players will get rested for one of the double game week fixtures.
Exactly. You often get double game weeks around Christmas time where the manager will rest and rotate, particularly with the forward players. So no, I would always go with the big gun against the weak opposition. Kane's a big gun, Newcastle a weak opposition. So it's adding up for me.
Kelly, you're going to triple captain now, aren't you?
I'm not going to. I'm just so scared. The Kane talk is scaring me so much. I'm going Raheem Sterling.
Are you?
Because I just think, as I've said, that fixture is just too good to ignore. He's been involved directly in 10 goals in 7 Premier League appearances against Bournemouth, 8 goals and 2 assists. For me, it's a no-brainer. I do also have Kevin De Bruyne, tempted by him, but Raheem Sterling for me is just a banker.
Points machine, Raheem. Lee?
I'm with Kelly completely. Yes, Raheem Sterling for me. Of course I'm concerned about Kane. I don't have him either, so I'm equally scared. Although if I look at the performances so far for Kane, game week 1 didn't look great without Eriksen. Game week 2, I think the XG, the expected goals, was less than 0.1. So I'm going the big hitter, Adrian Sterling, against the weaker opposition, Bournemouth.
Excellent. Well, whatever you decide to do with your team, listener, make sure you get it done by 7 o'clock on Friday, an hour before Aston Villa kick off against Everton. Many thanks, Lee, Kelly and Adrian, for being with us today. Best of luck with game week 3. We'll be back to review all of the weekend action and look forward to game week 4. Same time next week. For now, though, from all of us here, it's goodbye.